How have corporations shaped society? You might think of the corporation as a feature of modern capitalism, but the institution has roots going back at least to ancient Rome. Whether you think corporations are an engine of progress or a barrier to equity, William Magnuson traces their story in his new book, For Profit, A History of Corporations. William has taught corporate law at Harvard and Texas A&M, and he joins us now to share five of his key insights.
I'm William Magnuson. I am the author of For Profit, A History of Corporations. I'm a law professor at Texas A&M Law School, and before becoming a professor, I worked as a mergers and acquisitions attorney at the law firm Sullivan & Cromwell in New York, as well as a journalist at the Washington Post in Rome. In my book, I explore the history of corporations by telling the stories of eight of the world's most powerful companies, both past and present, from the Medici Bank in Renaissance Florence, to the East India Company in Elizabethan England, to Facebook in modern-day Silicon Valley. I wrote this book because I wanted to learn more about how the world's most important economic institution that affects all of our lives in innumerable ways came to be, why we created it in the first place, and where it might be heading next. I'm going to share with you five of the key insights from my book. Insight number one, don't overthrow the republic. The idea of the corporation began in ancient Rome, and it was created to solve a specific problem. In the second and first centuries BC, the Roman Republic was growing, conquering or acquiring much of Europe and the Mediterranean, but it never developed a large government apparatus. And so it faced a dilemma. How was it to administer this growing empire? The answer was the corporation. The Republic relied heavily on private companies to provide government service, and in return, it granted them special rights and privileges. Roman corporations did things like collect taxes, build roads, and equip armies. They were so important to Rome that Cicero called them an ornament of the state. But over time, as the companies grew more powerful, problems started to emerge. They were accused of oppressing the provinces and bribing the Senate. They encouraged Rome to launch aggressive wars of conquest, and they favored the rise of friendly politicians like the triumvirate of Caesar, Pompey, and Crassus, who would soon topple the Republic and usher in the Roman Empire. The fate of the Roman corporation provides us with a lesson. Corporations are purpose-built for business and commerce, and they're very good at accelerating economic growth. But they can also be dangerous. Their interests are not always aligned with the interests of the people, and this can lead them to undermine the governments that created them in the first place. Insight number two, think long term. One of the most common mistakes that a company can make is not to think for the long term. Too often, companies fail to plan for the future because they are thinking so much about the here and the now, about this year's profits, or next month's sales goals, or the company's real-time stock price. But when you focus too much on the short term, you can lose sight of your true goals. One example of this is the Medici Bank. The Medici Bank was the most powerful financial institution of the Renaissance, and it acted as bankers to the Pope and Europe's nobility. It is perhaps most famous for financing the artistic genius of masters like Michelangelo, and Leonardo da Vinci, and Donatello. But its fatal flaw was that it failed to plan for the future. Managers of the bank didn't think hard about succession plans or the bank's long-term business interests, and instead focused their time on extracting quick profits for themselves. Soon it had lost the favor of the church, as well as powerful guilds within Florence, and within a century of its founding, the bank was gone, and the Medici family was exiled from Florence. The Medici Bank is a powerful reminder that companies have to think for the long term and plan for the future. Insight number three, compete, but fairly. Capitalism is based on competition, We want companies to compete for your business. We think that if they do, it will lead to better products at better prices. And this should be good for all of us. But we also want corporations to compete fairly. Just like a sports game, there are rules to competition. We don't want corporations to engage in industrial espionage, or spread lies about their competitors, or buy out rivals in order to raise prices. One example I talk about in the book is the Union Pacific Railroad. The Union Pacific, in one of history's great feats of engineering, built the Transcontinental Railroad in the 1860s and was celebrated across the nation. But after it finished the railroad, the Union Pacific came under the control of a robber baron named Jay Gould. Gould set about destroying or buying out all of his competitors, either by spreading false rumors about them or by secretly acquiring their shares. And soon he had a monopoly that raised rates on farmers and ranchers. The Union Pacific reminds us that we should compete, but fairly. Insight number four, don't take all the pie for yourself. Corporations are great at growing the economic pie. They are efficient, they are fast, and they know how to respond quickly to consumer demand. But as they grow the economic pie, corporations should also think about how big their slice is and how much is left for others. If all the benefits of capitalism are going to the few, to the powerful, to the wealthy, that is a problem. There is nothing inevitable in the free market that says each party will receive their fair share. All too often, corporate executives take the lion's share of the pie and leave only crumbs for others. Corporations should be thinking about workers, about customers, and about societies. We want everyone to benefit from the profits of enterprise, not just corporate executives. We need corporate executives to commit themselves to divvying up their pie fairly and equitably, and to ensure that everyone gets a slice. Insight number five, don't move too fast or break too many things. Corporations take risks all the time. They launch new products, they hire new leaders, they spend money on research and development. But there's a difference between deliberate, considered risk-taking and excessive, reckless risk-taking. We don't want corporations to play fast and loose when it comes to the welfare or safety of consumers or the privacy of their users. In today's world, tech companies like Facebook and Twitter have hundreds of millions of users. When they move fast and break things, dire consequences can follow. We have all seen the dangers of social media, from misinformation and election interference to civil discord and violence. Companies should think seriously about these things. They should think seriously about the risks and harms that might flow from their decisions. Even if those risks and harms might not directly affect their bottom line. We don't want companies to move too fast or break too many things. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, William. That was William Magnuson with five big ideas from For Profit, A History of Corporations. You might also like our book bite for The Entrepreneurs, The Relentless Quest for Value by Derek Leto. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.